And it's just lovely to have you here today, Kim. Now, I know that you work on the Shankill Road. I know you're attached to Shankill Baptist Church. I know you're employed by the Baptist Missionary Union. But tell me exactly what your job description is or what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. When I first started, they called me an evangelist, which is a laugh, right? But, you know, when I first started and I was looking for a job description and I thought Baptist Missions were going to give me a job description, but they still haven't given me one. But they more or less just told me to go out and get to know the people and get to know my friends again, get to know the community. And they said that they would call me back and review that. Well, they're still doing that, and it's 3 years later. So my job description, I just say that I'm involved with full-time evangelism.
Now, this morning you shared a little bit of what yesterday was like, and you said it was a fairly typical day, but would you like to repeat that or maybe tell us about another typical day in the life of Kim Kelly?
Okay, maybe yesterday wasn't really a typical day. It was just a laugh having that before today. No 2 days are the same. When I first started, that first day, you know, my friends on the Shankill and people that knew me were saying to me, like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? And I thought, I don't know. I think my first day, I'm going to walk up and down the Shankill Road and just get a feel for the place, even though I was from there, but I was going to be doing something different now. And I thought, I'll just walk up and down and see what's happening. And to be honest, I came home that night and I cried my eyes out and I thought, what am I doing? I have made a mess of my life. I've given up my job and you know, and I was looking at my watch at like 10 o'clock thinking everybody's on their tea break, and at 1 o'clock everybody's on their lunch, and 3 o'clock everybody's on their tea break again, and Kim Kelly's just walking up down the Shankill Road doing what? And that was the first day. But you see, from day 2, God has just been amazing. No 2 days are the same. I try to plan my week, I really do, and I put things into my diary, and no, you don't stick to it, because you don't know what a phone call is going to bring, and you don't know, you know, if somebody's going to knock on your door. Like, I had my door knocked last night at 4 in the morning, and it was like, hello, who is that at 4 in the morning? And I'm standing at the door with my mobile phone in my hand going, who is it, ready? And I had 999 typed in, ready to hit the green button. But it was okay. It was okay. It was just a girl that I knew. They don't normally knock a door at 4 in the morning, but that's just last night.
But, Kim, that's what you're about at the moment. Where did it all start? Where did your journey of faith start? And how did you end up going back to the Shankill?
Well, I always say I was saved when I was 13. God knows, as long as I'm saved now. I could have been before that, because I went to Sunday school and children's meetings, and I heard the gospel and so clearly, and I always had a fear of hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I knew the way to get to heaven was through Jesus. But I remember when I was 13, I wasn't from a Christian family, but I went to a youth club, which was just in a wee church facing me, and they were just literally out in the streets that night, and we were out in the streets, and they invited us in. And I went in and I heard this gospel again, and I thought, you know, I have just this fear of death. I want to get rid of it. And I remember just talking to a guy about it, and he just prayed with me. And for 2 years, I really struggled, to be honest, because I thought, really, what do you do now? So I just picked up my Bible every day and thought, I have to read my Bible every day. I have to go to church every week. And see, to be honest, I was bored with that. And I thought, is this it? But I was just trying to live a religion. But when I was 15, God was really good, and I went along to a youth mission. And Roger Carswell was the speaker, and he was just giving out the appeal again to be saved. And I thought, how many times have you got to be saved? I am saved. I know that, but I'm not happy. And there was this youth choir at the front singing, and they were so happy that they were going to heaven. And I was sitting there really sad, thinking, why? They've got this joy about them. And I spoke to Roger Carswell, and he introduced me to a girl from Shankill Baptist. And I'm so thankful for her, because she just took me under her wing, and she looked after me, and she discipled me. And, you know, even as Bishop Clark was talking about this morning, that's what it's about. It's about making disciples. It's not just about seeing them making a decision. I made a decision. And even now, when I talk to people on the Shankill Road, they'll say to me, okay, I was saved. I got saved so many years ago. It didn't work for me. And I think that could have been me if somebody didn't follow me up, because I wouldn't have known where to turn. But how did I end up on the Shankill Road? When I left school, I was working in the bank, and, you know, I was going to church and I was hearing God's word. And it was going to things like this. I remember, this is so weird, like, because when I came to the missionary convention here about 10 years ago, I was just going into Bible college. And, you know, just before that, I felt, you know, I'd heard about these missionaries going out, and I thought, that could never be me. No way, I could never do that. Then I got my head around where I could maybe go to Africa, but I couldn't come back and talk to somebody about it. But I'll go to Africa, but don't have me to come back and report on it. But, you know, in my head, I was getting ready to go abroad, and I thought, God, I will go. And year after year, I says, okay, God, give me another year to think about it. And I thought about it for another year, but I want to read this to you because I just find it really amusing. I was at a youth fellowship one night, and the guy was speaking. It was Ed Norwood, if you know him, and he was speaking in John chapter 4 and verse 35, where it says, do not say there's 4 months more, and then cometh the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white unto harvest. And I just felt God was saying to me that night, Kim, you keep saying this time next year, stop it. It was as clear as that. Stop it. Don't even give it 4 months. You're going now. And I was in the meeting going, huh? Where am I going? Where am I going? I was still in the bank, and I was like, what if I do? Go in tomorrow and hand him a notice. You know, and I thought, Lord, is that really you speaking? And he really confirmed it. And one of the ways he confirmed it was through this book. I was at a youth weekend after that. And when I went into this youth weekend, there was a man on the stall, and he was, you know, looking after the books. And he says, Kim Kelly, that book's for you. He didn't even know what he was lifting. He was just joking, that book's for you. And he says, and what about reading that chapter? And when he opened it up, it was 21 lessons on how to avoid becoming a missionary. But I want to read you the first one. So I says, oh, he's having a laugh. So I goes up to the room, and this is point number one. Skillfully avoid the command in John chapter 4 and 35 to take a long, hard look at the fields. This is not only depressing, but it is unsettling and could lead to genuine missionary concern. So that was it. And God has a sense of humour, and he really spoke to me through that and through that weekend. And, you know, and then the rest is history. I went to Bible college after that, and I thought, right, I'm getting ready to go. And the ironic thing is, you know, when I was ready in my head to go, God put a burden on my heart for the Shankill Road. And that worked out through Baptist Missions to help me to stay.
Well, I know that the people in the Shankill are very thankful that the Lord has sent you to them. But I know inevitably in this type of work, Kim, there must be disappointments as well as highlights. So would you want to share maybe some of the disappointments or things that just haven't worked out maybe as you might have expected?
I was trying to think about that, and it's just been so good. And I'm not just... you have your off days and the devil attacks you. And I was trying to think about that disappointment. It's the only disappointment I really have, and I'm not just saying this like false humility, but it's in myself. You know, I'm not organising my time well, and... you know, because some days I would just get up and go instead of just sitting and thinking, right, who can I visit today? Who does the Lord want me to visit? And sometimes I just go and go with the flow. So I'd be disappointed in myself sometimes for, like, wasting opportunities and getting, and then at times I would be frustrated at myself. But God is so gracious. He's amazing. And he just, you know, he overlooks all that. And he's not disappointed in us. And so that's it.
But then there are successes or highlights, maybe not success, maybe isn't the right description, but there are obviously have been highlights over the last number of years. Would you like to share some of those?
I would say the highlights would be the weekends away. You know, over the past couple of years, we've had youth weekends and we've had what's called WWW weekends. Now, it's not World Wide Web weekends. It's Women Witnessing to Women. And it's just taken ladies from the Shankill away, and there's a group of ladies with me, and we're staying in a B&B tonight. So if you see a group of Shankill ladies walking about, that's there with me. But the WWW weekend, it's aimed to take them away and just to live with them, just Christians living with non-Christians, and hopefully just showing them that we're normal, you know. And it's not a religion; it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And those weekends have been amazing. You know, we have Shirley Temple with us, and we have Susan Boyle with us, and Tina Turner. You know, and Britain's Got Talent, or we call it Shankill's Got Talent. But, you know, take away all the fun just to see God at work in those weekends. And especially this, you know, especially this year, you know, God has just been amazing, you know, and just even saving Nicola. And Nicola's with us today, and he saved her just after the weekend. But that's what it's all about. It's just living with people and just sharing your faith and just letting them see Christ in you, and then let God do his bit.
So, Kim, what would you like us to pray for whenever we think about you in the Shank? What particular things could we be praying about and for on the Shank?
I just want to share this with you. When I finished Bible College and I didn't know where I was going, I went off to Switzerland to do the CEF training course. And just the night before I left, I was going on a Saturday, and my pastor at the time called to my house on the Friday night. And he says, Kim, can I just share these verses with you? And he actually shared them from Luke, but this is from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. And I went away to Switzerland with those verses, thinking, what's all that about? Not knowing it was the Shank, and coming back and reading those verses. And, you know, when I look back, a lot of dates beside these verses, and I can just see that happening now in the Shank. But I would really just love you to pray for people of the Shank, people that are bound by alcohol or drugs or medication, that, you know, Jesus has promised that he can set them free. And I would just love to see deliverance in their lives, and that's just really on my heart at the minute. You know, just even those two people that I was at the hospital with last night, I would just love to see God just setting them free. They know that Jesus is the answer, but putting their full faith on Jesus is so hard for them. But you know, nothing is impossible with God, and we just pray, just ask you just to remember that word deliverance, that God would deliver them.
Thanks very much indeed, Kim.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to take up our offering, and I think Ruth and Moira are going to come and play again during the offering, and then at some point they're going to ask us to stand and sing along with them. But we'll take up our offering at this point.